Hello.
I can't believe it's the time to be now Christmas.
I know. Wait, how long is it? Someone said 2 weeks the other day, so it must be, well, 10 days.
No.
From when we're filming this, yeah. I mean, from when we're filming this, 10 days, but right, when you guys will listen, it will be like literally a few days,
literally
I think.
Literally 3 days till Christmas.
Wow. I can't, honestly, I feel like it's come around so quickly.
I feel like this year has flown by.
And I find something quite, like, I think I've said this before about New Year, but it's the same goes for Christmas. I find it quite, something quite sad about Christmas time. I don't know why. There's something that makes me feel like quite emotional and sad about it.
It's because it's like the end of the year. Like you've gone through this whole year and it's like this is nearing towards the end.
Yeah. And it's been pretty rubbish year for me and you. So I feel like maybe I'm even more emotional this year. But yeah, I've just always found Christmas quite emotional. I sort of drive in my car and at the moment, if nobody knows, magic is 100% Christmas. And so I've got it on constantly to make me feel Christmassy. And I just feel like lots of the songs make me feel just really emotional. I'm constantly tearing up while I'm driving.
Yeah, the songs are a bit like emotional, aren't they? Like, last Christmas,
oh,
I give you my heart.
Oh, wow. That is good. Yes.
That
thanks,
good.
Courtney,
that was really
for that.
In pitch as well.
That was what a Christmas treat, Courtney singing.
I feel like they're all like love, like heartbreak love songs at Christmas.
Yeah, wait, what's the one where it's like, there's like some really slow old ones. I can't even think right now, but they just make me feel sad. Just like the old school, like, really, I don't know why. I think it makes me think probably of, like, family as well. You know, like, past Christmases when, like, grandparents would be here and stuff and, like, how much it's all sort of moved on. And also sort of, like, growing up, I feel like it's very evident at Christmas that each year is ticking by. And, you know, being a child at Christmas is just the best thing ever.
Oh my God, it's fully magical.
And we will just never have that again. And I know that that's all, my mum says to me, no, you will have that again when you have your own children. Like,
yeah,
Christmas becomes amazing again.
To be fair, Callum's got nieces and nephews and they still believe
in
Christmas. So that's why I love going around to his house because it's like, they're like, I'm like, what did Santa bring you? And they're like, look what he got us. And they're all so excited. Obviously, I've got my nephew Hudson, even though he has no idea what Christmas is. I'm still excited to give him his presents.
I'm sure Courtney will still be dressing him up in all sorts of Christmas outfits. Have you ordered him a Christmas outfit?
Yes, he's got a onesie that says Hudson's First Christmas.
Yeah, I knew there would be something. There would always be something. Why don't you dress him up as little like Father Christmas and put a beard on
him? Yeah, he is. He's got a beard and a hat and it says his name on it. I can't wait to dress him up in that. Literally going to be pictures all over Instagram.
Yeah.
But what was your Christmas like growing up?
Well, this is going to sound like I really like Debbie Downer, but they were absolutely amazing until I was seven. And then my parents split up and Christmas became for most of my childhood until I was a little bit older and I understood a bit more. But my Christmases were just not nice. All of a sudden, like, my family was really separate. And up until, like, you know, 7 years old, they were just amazing and magical. My mum and dad were together and all the family were together. And after that, yeah, it just became a little bit just like almost like a bittersweet time. I just felt sad because we'd have to, like, split the day. My day ended up consisting of, like, firstly, my parents' divorce was completely messy. It was not like some straightforward thing. So they were constantly arguing through us, which was no fun. And so there would always be an argument and, you know, it would always be an argument probably like who was going to have me and my brother for dinner, for Christmas dinner, who was going to have us waking up on Christmas Day. And it was always just this like stupid, petty argument, everything the whole way through, not just Christmas, the whole year through. So it was just always, it became, you know, we'd have to like split Christmas up and it would be sad because my mum's side of the family do like a huge Christmas day and everyone's together, my cousins, my aunts, and I absolutely loved it. And we'd end up sometimes like going there for a few hours and then my dad would pick us up and I'd be sad to leave my family. I'd feel like I was like missing out or like vice versa the other way around. So it was, obviously it sounds like I'm being such a Debbie Downer, but it was just kind of like a bit rubbish really after like seven. It's just sad.
How did they explain to you like how Father Christmas comes to like two different families?
I'm not sure they ever did, honestly. My parents were a nightmare. I don't really know. I think Father Christmas probably came to Mummy's house, I think, because we lived at my mum's house full-time. We lived at my mum's house. So I think Father Christmas came to Mummy's house. But then I think maybe he came to Daddy's house as well and left things for us. I'm not really sure. I can't actually remember that part of it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I had lovely Christmases, yeah, but I just always remember a few years ago, my uncle converted all of these home videos because they were on like an old, an old, what's it called?
Video
like
camera.
A video camera thing. And they were on like tapes and stuff. And he managed to like get them converted and put them on DVDs so we could watch them. And I'd actually never seen them before. I didn't even know they existed. And there's all of these Christmases with all of my family when my mum and dad are together and it's just amazing. And they're filming like everyone open their presents and everyone's in such good moods. And then it kind of flicks and there's like a few years in between. And then it's when my mum and dad are split up. And I remember watching that a few years ago and thinking, oh, it made me feel sad. Cause you know, it's like, I knew how sad I felt then, like when it was all happening. And I was watching it and I was like, oh, I see such a difference between, you know, those years
your
before when I was so happy.
Yeah. Not.
When I was so happy. And then after, it just being, you could just tell, like, my mum was really unhappy. My mum, I think she, like, struggled. You know, I think she was just kind of a housewife when she was married to my dad. And then all of a sudden, she obviously had to get a job and pay a mortgage and money was tight and it wasn't great. And yeah, everything was just an argument. So it was just, it was. I feel like when I think about it now, and it's only in the last few years, my childhood was actually quite stressful, mm-hmm. Just because the divorce was so messy. But I always say to you, that's why... with George, I always say to him, like, if we have kids, that is it. Like, we are not putting my kids through how messy my childhood was, like, after the divorce. There's just no way. Like, I know the repercussions of divorce. I know, like, how it is. And, you know, I'm sure there's some people that have had, you know, got, like, relatively positive stories about it. And, like, you know, our parents, they just weren't in love anymore. And it, you know, they just went their separate ways and it was all easy. But for me, it was just... it was awful. I absolutely hated it.
Yeah. Obviously, like, mine and Chloe's family lives is completely different because my parents are still together. They've been married since they were 16. So I've never experienced, like, life as in a divorced family. And quite a lot of my friends, I think the majority of my friends' parents have had divorces.
Oh, really?
I think there's literally only about four of my friends whose parents are still together.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rare for our age group.
Did they ever talk about, like, were their divorces, were they okay or were they not?
I feel like my friends never really opened up about it like you.
I think it took me a long time. I think it's only sort of recently that I saw.
A lot of my friends, their parents don't talk at all. Like, they've got no communication at all.
Same as mine. And even when we were younger and they kind of needed to have communication, they struggled with that. But I remember at one point my dad had to pick me up at the end of the road because he wasn't allowed to pick us up outside our house because, you know, they'd end up just arguing. Like,
but a lot of my friends' parents broke up when they were older.
Oh, okay.
So some of them when they were younger, but, like, that was, like, before I knew them. But a lot of them were, like, an older split. And I feel like an older split is a lot more easier to deal with than a younger split.
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. And I think what was difficult for me was I was obviously in primary school and I think I must have been, what's seven? I think I was like in year two or something. And there was one other family in my whole year at school. And because divorce was obviously like years and years ago, like our grandparents and stuff, it was very rare that people got divorced. I just think it was not something that happened. And our parents' generation made it like a thing where, you know, it was acceptable to get a divorce and leave your partner. So when I was in primary school, when I was young, I remember there was one other family, and she's actually my best friend, Lucy. That's probably why we ended up bonding. Her parents got a divorce first, and she was the first one anyone had heard of. Like, none of us, I didn't know anyone else whose parents had a divorce. And, you know, I'm sure I was quite sheltered. I was only a child. It was probably just everyone in my class or the year or whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, no, I hope that's never me. And I felt really sorry for her, and I think everyone was like, oh, she's like, you know, her parents are divorced. Like, you know what kids are like, they're horrible. So everyone kind of like pitied her, and I was like, oh, I hope that's never me. And then when my parents sat me down and was like, we're getting a divorce, literally a few months later.
I literally couldn't imagine.
It broke my heart, and I was so embarrassed because I felt like everybody, like, even like the parents, like everybody in my... like the kids at the school and all the parents, I feel like everybody sort of like pitied me a little bit and I really hated it. You know, like all of a sudden I feel like just everybody knew. It probably felt a lot bigger than it actually was, but to like everybody else, I'm sure nobody cared that much. But it felt like this huge thing and I was so embarrassed and I was like, oh no, like, and now I'm that kid that's got the divorced parents. And I was just really, really embarrassed about it. So I feel like if my parents had been older, because after that, I'm sure lots of people's parents got a divorce. Like years later, if I'd been in high school, loads of people, by that point, loads of people's parents got divorced. But because it was one of the first ones, I think I like struggled with it. And then, you know, like I was the kid, we got an au pair, and I was like the kid at school that I wasn't picked up by my parents because my parents had to work. So, you know, my au pair would be at the school, and I was like, oh. You know, the kid that mummy and daddy wasn't there, we had an au pair to pick
it's
us
so
up.
It's so funny because like, I remember when I was younger, there was such a stigma about parents being divorced, like you said, you were able to talk about it. And I remember my parents would like being like have an argument, and I'd cry, be like, please don't get a divorce, please. Like, I'd like cry, that'd shatter me. So obviously, like, I'm very lucky that my parents are still together and I've never had to go through what you've gone through. So I will never understand what you've gone through when it comes to divorce, but. My family at Christmas, I've got obviously got two sisters, so I was like always the spoiled brat.
I can see that. I'm not completely shocked.
I would
about
circle
that.
Every single thing in the Argos catalog.
Oh, I used to do the Argos catalog. Yeah, thing
I'd literally fold the pages so they knew, and I'd circle and I'd star the ones that I really like. And we'd come down at Christmas. I've got two older sisters, so I was the baby of the family, and I'd wake everyone up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
On the dot, and we'd come downstairs. I'd drag everyone downstairs, and I'd start counting each present.
Oh, Courtney.
Yeah, I counted. If my sister had more than me, I'd scream and cry. I was such a brat.
Wait, what's that? There's like some in Harry Potter, he says something like, well, it's his birthday, it's not Christmas. He's like, 14 presents, 14. Last year there was 15 or something. I can't remember the actual.
Like me. And mum would be like, no, because your presents are more expensive, so you get like smaller amount.
Oh, I remember that. As you got older, you'd get like smaller presents.
Yeah, mum goes, the smaller the present, the more expensive.
Yeah, that's we got all of that.
And now I understand.
It used to be between me and my brother who got like the biggest box. Yeah, who had the biggest wrapped present was like the winner. Basically, and I think as you get older, you start to get like smaller ones and less presents, and you think, it's really because you're getting better things.
And it's funny because now my mum took me and my sisters to Selfridges to choose what we wanted for Christmas, and my sisters both got presents. And I didn't get anything because I didn't want anything. I literally nothing tickled my fancy.
What, this year?
Yeah. What? So my mum's like, well, you're not gonna open anything. I said, Joe, I don't care. Like, I honestly don't want anything. I don't want to waste.
Oh,
I don't want to waste it.
How wholesome of you.
I know. How much has changed? That's growth.
No, wait. There will definitely be something that pops up that you want. So you're not going to have any. I don't believe that.
Chloe,
you will cry and scream if you wake up with no
care.
Presents.
Honestly, I don't care. There is nothing I want.
This is a complete 360. If this is true, then you have like gone full circle.
I know. This is growth, Chloe. This is what happens when you get older.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, you were upset in the summer because no one was thinking about your birthday and it was your birthday month. Even though your birthday's at the end of the month, it was like the second and you were like, everyone's just talking about my sister's birthday.
Yeah, but that's...
So I feel like we've grown in 6 months.
My sister was turning 30 and my mum said, my birthday doesn't matter, that is me. And that is life growing up with two sisters. Although we are like best friends, me and my sisters are like best friends, like we are so close. I was that bratty child that counted the presents when we were younger.
So me and George talk about this quite often, actually. We talk about, you know, there's lots of like siblings that don't get along. And I feel like it's quite common. I feel like especially if there's mixed siblings between like boys and girls. I know some people have a great relationship with their brothers and sisters, but some people don't. And me and George always talk about why. Do you think that like you're put against your siblings in like rivalry and like competition, like you're in competition with your sibling to be like make your parents the proudest, to like do the best at school or get the best job or like, you know, be the first to have a baby or whatever it may be? Like, do you think like has that ever happened in your family? Do you think your parents have like put you all against each other?
No, but you know why? Because it's the age gap.
Yeah,
there's 6 years between me and my oldest sister, so obviously she's going to get married and have a kid first.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even put myself in that category.
How about when it comes to like going to, I don't know, school?
Although my middle sister Bianca, she's like, if you get engaged before me, I'll be so pissed off.
Yeah, I get that though.
But I'm not, I don't care though, because I'm just the baby. I'm like, I see myself as the baby compared to my sisters. Yeah. So the age gap is 6 years between me and my oldest and 4 years between me and the middle sister. But she's like, if you move out before me, she's a typical middle child.
Yeah. Well, I get it. You know, I feel like the middle child gets like forgotten about sometimes because, you know, you've got your older sister who's the firstborn, so she'll be like always special. And then the younger one's the baby, so she's special. And then the middle child is kind of always just like, just the middle child. It's middle child syndrome, isn't it? They talk about this all the time. I feel like the middle child is usually like the the rebel a little bit.
She has major middle child syndrome.
Oh, really? Yeah, but I feel for her. I get that.
I know, but now my mum and dad feel sorry for her because they treated her like the middle child for her whole life. And now she's treated like the best thing on earth. Like her present she got for Christmas was like more expensive than what my oldest
She deserves
got.
It. She's had so many years of like being like suppressed.
Well, that's
what
my mum and dad, they're like, oh no, but she deserves it. And I'm thinking, bloody hell.
But it is true. The middle child is slightly the forgotten one.
She was the forgotten one.
Because, you know, the oldest and the baby, you were the baby, like, oh, so cute, the baby. And then the oldest was the firstborn, so they were so special because they were the first child they brought into the world. And the middle child is just kind of like
and then
some, nothing.
And
what's
then
the middle child?
Then sometimes me and my oldest sister would gang up on her because, you know, obviously when you go on holidays, there's only two beds in a room and then you've got the fucking pull-out bed.
Yeah.
And the youngest always get the pull-out bed. But as I was getting older, I was thinking, no, actually, this is unfair. And then me and my oldest would be like, Bianca, you have to go on the pull-out bed. And we'd like gang up on her.
That is really mean.
always had to sit in the middle seat in the car. Always had to sit in the middle on the plane.
But you were the smallest.
Oh, well, we're all the bloody same height.
There's reasoning behind all of this.
Why does the youngest have to get the middle?
Yeah, the baby is the smallest. So the baby deserves, you know, the middle seat, the pull-out bed. That's what happens when you're the youngest, right? Yeah.
But at least I'm over that stage. Although we're going to Dubai in March for my dad's birthday, and it's going to be so weird because it's like the first holiday we've been in years as a family, but we've all got our own rooms because we've got our partners. Yes.
I was about to say, you're not going to be on the pull-out bed with Callum.
I'm not going to be on the pull-out bed anymore.
Yeah, you'll be like all of you with your partners and stuff. So that's completely different. Yeah, I think that would be like quite nice, a big family holiday, huge family holiday.
I'm excited.
It's been a few years since I've been on one of those.
I feel like we've right waffled off of our Christmas chat.
Yeah, we have. Anyway, let's get back to Christmas.
Right, let's talk about Christmas traditions. Do you have any Christmas traditions?
Christmas traditions, probably quite similar to most people's, really. You know, my family will all be together. This was always one, and George can never get his head around this one. So with my family were always quite strict, really. Like, I was brought up in, they were relatively strict. So this one, George thinks is absolutely outrageous. He can't get his head around this one. So when we were younger, not necessarily, well, even now, really. Yeah, even now. When we were younger, we would, we would go to someone in my family. It would either be at my house, or my aunt's house, or my cousin's house, my nanny's house, wherever it would be. And we would go there, and we were not allowed to open presents until after Christmas dinner. So when we first got there, so me and my brother were obviously like really, really young. And we would like be sniffing around the Christmas tree, you know, like finding out which, and they'd be like, don't touch.
That
is torture as a child, isn't it? And they would make us have like our, you know, our prawn cocktail for starter, and then our Christmas dinner, and then our dessert. And me and Ashley would be, my brother is Ashley, we would be like, can we open the presents now? And they'd be like, no, not yet. Let's clear up. Let's get the table away. Like, honestly,
that is torture.
It is torture.
Up at 6 a.m, go downstairs before my parents go, I'd go downstairs and start like trying to rip open the corners to see what I've got.
Once again, doesn't shock me. we would wake up in the morning and open our presents from like Father Christmas and Mummy and Daddy. But then when we got there, it would be like my aunties would like absolutely spoil us. My aunties and uncles would absolutely spoil us, and my nanny and stuff. We just weren't allowed to open our presents from them until after dinner. But we woke up in the morning and we would open like from Mummy and Daddy and Father Christmas. And George was like, that's so cruel. That's like torture. And I'm like, it was like torture actually as a child, because I never enjoyed my Christmas dinner because I used to just think,
what's in them presents?
Hurry up, everyone, stop eating. Like, I need to open my presents. So yeah, that was a weird tradition that we had. I'm not sure why that ever started or how that ever started. I feel like it's probably my Auntie Karen. She's like the strict one. She'd be like, nope. They should learn how to like restrain themselves from like, ripping them open. But yeah, that's the only weird one. I think that recently when it comes to like Christmas dinner, I requested this year mac and cheese with our Christmas dinner.
Oh, unreal.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I've seen a few people do it over the last few years, so I said to my mum, please, you know, can we have some mac and cheese? I think that's a great addition to a roast dinner.
Unbelievable. So my Christmas dinner is obviously not the conventional Christmas dinner, because where I come from, a Jewish family, and my grandma is kosher.
Oh, okay.
So we can't have your average Turk on the...
So what do you have, like a kosher turkey?
We have a kosher turkey.
Does it taste any different?
Do you know what? I think it tastes nicer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What does kosher mean?
It's just been blessed.
Oh, okay.
It's just been blessed.
Then it probably tastes exactly the same.
It's been blessed and killed in a certain way.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we have kosher turkey. We have chicken canadle soup for starters. Don't have your prawn cocktails.
Is that the chicken soup I've had at your house before? Fair dues. I like that. It's very, very nice.
Your traditional kosher Jewish chicken.
And what are the crouton things?
And the croutons.
Yeah,
the best.
Unreal.
And then we also have chopped liver, which is disgusting. I hate it. Chopped liver and egg mayonnaise with bread to start.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's just blown my mind. That I didn't even know that. I've known Courtney for a long time and you've never told me that.
So this is what you'd have at a typical Friday night dinner.
Okay.
So that's what we have.
Sabbath, is that a Friday night dinner?
Sabbath, yeah.
Oh, Sabbath, okay. I know that from Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, yeah, I'm impressed by you.
Have you seen that musical, Fiddler on the Roof?
I have. I went to see it in the theatre as well.
I went to see it in New York. It was amazing. I learned lots about the Jewish community.
So when I was younger, I obviously done 8 days of Hanukkah, where we'd get a present each day.
I thought it was 12 days of Hanukkah.
No, it's 8 days of Hanukkah.
Oh, I got that wrong.
There's 12 days of Christmas now.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's where I'm getting it wrong. I'm getting confused here.
So we'd have 8 days of presents for Hanukkah, and then we'd have Christmas Day, which would be like all our main presents. So as a child, I was very lucky. Obviously, we don't do that now. We still like the Hanukkah.
Is that the candelabra?
We still like that, but we don't do any presents.
Okay. So wait, so you light one candle each day?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I always remember when I was younger, my mum had like a dance school, just like a Saturday dance school. And there was a girl in the Saturday dance school and she was Jewish. And I think they were like very religious. So I don't think they celebrate Christmas at all or whatever they do. I don't really know. But I just remember being like a six-year-old child and her telling me that they did Hanukkah and that she got like a present every day for a certain amount of time. I remember being like to my mum, why don't I get a present every day leading up to Christmas? She was like, well, because we're not Jewish. So, and I just always remember it always stuck with me. That was the first time I learned about the present every day.
Yeah.
Would it be like a big present or just like a small present?
It obviously depends on the family, but we'd get, because obviously a lot of Jewish people don't celebrate Christmas, they'd obviously get a big present every day, whereas because we celebrate Christmas, we get our big presents at Christmas and little like a hairbrush or something like that on Hanukkah.
So I would love, I'm always interested in stuff like this. So you know, like I know you might not know this because it's very different, but you know, like Orthodox Jews, and they're very, very very, very religious. And I'm sure they don't celebrate Christmas at all, like nothing at all. What would they do like around Christmas time when everything's closed? And, you know, do you know what they do on Christmas Day? Is it like, do they do like a Sabbath dinner or something maybe?
Well, I guess it depends. Does Christmas land on a Friday?
Well, it will be different every year, wouldn't it? But well, I'm not sure about this year.
I think they'll just go on as a normal day.
Yeah. They're just like they've got a day off.
Yeah. My dad's obviously, his company is like a Jewish company. So he is open over Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like as normal.
So other than Hanukkah, what day is is Hanukkah just over 8 days? Or is it a big celebration? Or no, is it just completely?
Every day is a celebration.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't know if some of you might have seen in your areas, but I know in Essex, in every area, they have a massive menorah.
Yeah, the candle.
Yeah, and every night that they do like a big event outside and they light the light each night. I'm not sure.
I feel like they've actually got one outside. I think that one's new. I always remember being younger and only ever seeing the Gants Hill one. Yeah, and now they're everywhere.
Gants Hill, Loughton, Epping.
Now they're everywhere, yeah.
Chigwell, they've got one everywhere. So I'm not sure about other people's areas. Obviously, if they do it in your area, please let me know because I'd love to know. It's like a big event every night for Hanukkah. Like, you sing songs, you eat food, and
that's amazing.
Yeah,
has it started already?
It's finished now.
Oh,
yeah, it was at the beginning of December.
Oh, I missed it.
You missed it. Oh, darn.
Darn it.
Yeah, it was actually at the beginning of December.
Oh, okay, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. I like that you still do like a Christmassy thing. When I remember when we first started being friends, and our other friend Madison is Jewish as well, and I always remember being like, oh, maybe they don't celebrate Christmas, and then going around both your houses and it'd be like decked out with a Christmas tree decorations, and I'd be like, okay.
I know, we're like the worst Jewish people ever.
No, I just feel like it's nice to decorate anyway. I feel like you don't, realistically, there's obviously, it originates from like a religious story, but realistically, Does anyone actually say, not many people say a prayer on Christmas
Day? No, I saw someone put on out there that Christmas is a money-making festival.
Of course it is.
No one does Christmas, apart from religious people, no one does Christmas because they believe in the story, because they obviously, don't want to offend anyone.
No,
but like, obviously people believe in the story and there's people like us who do it because it's fun.
It's just like an end of year. It's festive.
It's you're with the family.
It's an end of year celebration, isn't it? You don't have to believe in God or Jesus to celebrate Christmas. But I was brought up quite religious. We would go to like midnight mass. My mum would always take us to. We would do like the family Christmas Eve. We'd go to the church. Sometimes we went on Christmas Day. Like I was actually brought up quite religious. But yeah, I think that. For most people, it's just a nice, it's about family, it's about like being together, about like, like celebrating that the year's coming to an end. I think that's why I find it sad. I'm not sure, well, then of course there is, I'm not going to say that, of course, there's loads of people that celebrate it for the religious reasons. But yeah, I feel like you can, I read something the other day, and actually this is related to children, that somebody was saying that if you have children, when they get older and they start to not believe in Father Christmas, just because they don't believe in Father Christmas doesn't mean that they can't believe in Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still believe in Christmas.
Oh my God, can we please talk about the moment you found out Father Christmas wasn't real? Because this is the most traumatic day of my life.
I mean, I was the baby in my family. I had an older brother, so you can imagine. He just told me one day, I think I was asking my mum and dad, like, oh, you know, should we put out the mince pie for Father Christmas? And my brother was just literally like, are you stupid? Like, Father Christmas isn't even real. Like, do you know what I mean? I think that was kind of that's how he delivered it to me. So I think I argued with him as well. Like, no, Father Christmas is real. Like, of course he's real. Mom, is it real? That, I think it was that kind of like.
How old was you?
I don't remember, but probably, I feel like when you're younger, people start circulating in school, doesn't it? Like one person finds out and then kind of start circulating. But I actually always remember, maybe I was just really immature. I always remember like years and years later, and I'd say to everyone, oh yeah, Father Christmas, of course I know Father Christmas isn't real, but realistically I actually still believed in him. Like deep down, I used to think, no, I think he's actually real. I actually think it's real. But I just didn't want to admit that because I didn't want to be like the complete loser in school that still believed.
I was quite lucky that my sisters enjoyed the excitement with me, so they kept it a secret.
I feel like because they're that little bit older, they do like enjoy. Whereas my brother was only like 16 months older than me, so do you know what I mean? He hated me.
Yeah. And I feel like boys are like, oh, Christmas, whereas girls are like, all my sisters got so excited. So it was actually really nice. They kept it like a secret for me for years and years and years until I came down one day, saw the presents wrapped, and one of my presents was wrapped in my wallpaper.
So Father Christmas had ripped your... Wait, what? He'd ripped your wallpaper?
Well, no, because obviously there was spare, and my mum and dad had obviously run out of wrapping paper, so they wrapped it in my wallpaper. And I was like, hold on a minute. How's he wrapped it in my... And it just didn't make sense to me.
They could have covered their backs with that one and just put a tag on it saying, this one's from Mummy and Daddy.
Well, no, it said from Father Christmas.
Oh.
So I was like, no, this can't be right. And then that's when they broke it to me.
Oh, that's really sad. Really, so your parents broke it to you?
Yeah. I sussed it out. I was like, I think I asked too many questions and they were getting themselves... And I was a bit older at this point. I think I was about to start high school. And that's when you should really start to know that Father Christmas isn't real at 11 years old.
Well, there's like a fine line, isn't there? Because you want your children to believe in it, but then you don't want them to be so old they believe in it that they're kind of like picked on at school because they're the only one that still believes in it.
That's like,
there is a fine line.
Callum's nephew started school in year 7 and she was like, I have to tell him that Father Christmas isn't real because he can't be going to school being like, Father Christmas is real, and his friends being like, no, it's not. So she had to break it to him. But it's funny, when I see him, I'm like, what's Father Christmas get? If you know full well, he knows it's not real in a minute, and he still plays along with it.
Yeah, but he might be like me, like believed deep down, just didn't admit it to people. I feel like you could say to your children, couldn't you, you know, you're going to go to big school, and in big school, lots of people, you know, they'll say that they don't believe in Father Christmas. That's because they want to be cool, but actually he's real. So let's just keep it our secret. You could say something like that, no?
I must be so... I remember I was heartbroken.
Yeah, no.
And then from then, Christmas became less and less exciting.
I know, it's true, isn't it? You want this man with a beard and a red suit to come down your chimney and leave you presents, and when you find out it's just your parents.
I used to wait up and look out my window to see if he'd land on my roof.
I know, I used to, that's what my auntie Val still says to me now. Bear in mind, I'm 30 years old, and I'm one of the youngest in my family. Like, there's no like children in my family anymore. We're all sort of grown up. My auntie Val, every year, she sees us all on Christmas Day and she's like, did you hear his sleigh last night, the jingle bells? I did. I heard them. And I'm like, yes, yes, I heard them too. But she still, like, every year tries to say it to us, like, as if we all believe. I'm like, oh. I do believe in the magic of Christmas, though. I just think that's amazing. And I can't say I have seen people on Instagram going to Lapland. I cannot wait to have children to go to Lapland.
I know. Well, we can take Hudson and we can take Madison's baby as our excuse.
Okay, I'm going to tag along because I really, really, really want to go.
I know.
Not for the children, for me.
I want to go to the real life Lapland.
Oh, me too. Me too.
But then I said it would look a bit weird if me and Callum just hopped on a plane with all these kids and we're just like the only adults.
Well, no, I was trying to convince... Oh, I feel like there's a spider on my face. I was trying to convince George for us to go to Lapland, and actually the other day we went out for dinner with two of our friends, this couple, and a few years ago they went, just their couple,
really?
To Lapland.
I really want to go.
Yeah, they said they had a great time.
Or maybe we'll do like a foursome.
Let's do it, because George said to me, no, we'll wait till we've got children. Why are we going to go now? He would love it, really, though. He just plays cool.
Sleighs, yeah. Like, there's a spa, apparently there's like an unreal
see
spa.
See the Northern Lights.
Unreal.
Yeah. It would be amazing. It would be a really good thing. So I have been getting lots of DMs since I said on this podcast that years ago, 7 years ago or something, George left me for somebody else. And then a few years later, we got back together. People have been messaging me, asking me how I got over that and how I moved on from that. Honestly, with great difficulty. It wasn't easy.
Chloe did make him pay his dues.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, there was lots of sucking up. There was lots of, like, you know, owing me. I said sometimes I still feel like I feel like he's still like repaying me now. But it took a long time. I can talk about it easily now and it not bother me, just because it's been a long time now. But when we got back together, for the first sort of 2 years, I think, of our relationship, I struggled big time. Really,
yeah,
really struggled.
I remember that.
I hated him for it. I hated that he did that to me. And I hated that, because obviously it broke my heart and I was absolutely like on the floor, devastated. And I hated that he made me feel like that. And I was just really, I was just so angry at him. But, you know, he made it up to me and he sort of, I think what helped was that he was angry at himself. Like, he hated that he had made me feel like that. And when I told him how I felt and how it all went down, he was just, he was sort of almost like heartbroken as well that he'd done that. He'd put me through that and he was really upset and, you know, it was a mistake and whatever else, and just lots of grovelling, basically. And I struggled, obviously, to trust him for a while. I thought that he would do it again. I was worried. I struggled. And then after a while, you just kind of get over it.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes, like, once you forgive someone, you've forgiven them for a reason, so you kind of just have to let it go.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, it was me that decided to take him back and get over it. So I kind of had to move on from it. I kind of had no choice, like... But I loved him so much that I had no choice, basically. I needed to get over it. But yeah, I really struggled. It was really difficult. Like, the first few years, actually, of our relationship when we got back together was quite turbulent because of that. We argued about nothing else but that. I don't know, like, people always say to me now, like, I'm so chilled about it now. I don't actually care. I can talk about it. It doesn't really bother me at all. I can go in, like, detail and talk about it to people and explain it, because it just, yeah, it doesn't bother me. Like, I trust him now. And also, I think, I know it's very easy to say this, but to actually, like, think it, like, in a relationship, you just kind of have to trust someone, because if they're going to cheat on you or leave you or whatever else, they're going to do it anyway. Mm. And the more you go on about it, probably, like, they'll probably be pushed to do it, I think, sort of thing. You just don't want to plant that seed in their head. So I feel like you might as well just enjoy your relationship.
If you don't trust your boyfriend, you just shouldn't be with them.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest feeling. Like, I have so much trust in Callum.
Yeah.
When he goes out, I literally couldn't give a shit. I'm like, go enjoy yourself. Like,
And
I feel like that's when you know it's right. If you're really, really, really not trusting your boyfriend and freaking out, you're in the wrong relationship.
Yeah. So, but the thing was, is it was very hard for me because, it's so messy, but in those years when he wasn't with me and he was with the person that he left me for, he was like effectively, oh, this is going to make him sound awful, he's going to hate all of this, but he was like basically cheating on her with me. So he would see me every now and then, we would still speak. It wasn't like we didn't speak at all. We would still speak, he would see me. So I struggled. I basically went from the other girl to then being his girlfriend. So I struggled, and I know there would be times when he would tell her that he was at football, really he was with me. And so when it got to me and him being together, he would say, I'm going to football, I would be terrified.
Because there is that saying, if they're going to cheat on with you, they're going to cheat on you.
Exactly. Like, and so it took me a really, really long time. But, you know, he put Find My Friend on our phone, so I always knew where he was. He just always reassured me, because I think he knew, like, he knew that he had to. And then, yeah, like, after a few years of him proving himself and him being, like, squeaky clean and not doing anything, and just being, like, very open, I've said this before, very open with his phone. Like, I've never, weirdly, after all of this, I've never, ever, ever felt the need to go down George's phone. But that's because he'll open it in front of me. He'll message people in front of me. He'll give it to me and say, I'll find this contact on my phone. Or he'll give it to me and say, direct me, go on maps and direct. Do you know what I mean? He's very open with his phone. He's very like, and so I know that I've got nothing to find. I also know that he's very clever, and if he was doing something, he would delete all of it. So there's just no point in me going through his phone anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I just think, especially with us being in the spotlight a little bit, if he was to ever do anything, like,
well,
you know,
that's what I found out through someone Instagramming me.
Exactly.
So.
I feel like we would find out like that. Like, I get messages sometimes. My boyfriend, he'll be out like in the city, out with work or whatever, and I'll get like a random message from a random person saying, I've just seen your boyfriend in the Ned, or like, do you know what I mean? A bar in London somewhere. And I'd be like, yeah, I know he's in the Ned. I know who he's with. And I'd call, like, what? It's not a secret that he's there. So yeah, it just took me a really long time, and it was really messy. And I didn't trust him for a really long time, but he proved himself, and he turned it around. So, and here we are. So, you know, we got through it.
It's all good things.
Yeah. Yeah. It all happened. It was messy, but it, we got there in the end. So this week, Colt, I have remembered the snacks.
Thank God, because we've gone 2 weeks without doing our try and snacks.
I know,
I've
it's
been
all
really
my
upset.
Fault. It's all my fault. So what do we want to do today? Because I have South African snacks, or I have some
Let's
Irish
do South
crisps.
African, because we are South African ones were the ones we meant to do a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So let's follow on from South African ones.
Okay, look, my duty-free bag. Let's get them out. So what do we have here?
I'm quite excited to try this because you did say it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, no.
I don't know why I said I'm excited to try it because you said it's disgusting.
So this is biltong.
Oh, that looks weird.
Which is basically like dried meat. I think like beef jerky kind of thing.
That looks weird.
What are these? This is like chutney flavoured roasted corn.
Oh, I reckon that could be quite nice.
I mean, there's 4,000 of them, so I hope that they're nice.
There really are 4,000 of them.
And then this is something called a peach roll, which looks like a dog chew, honestly.
Just show everyone.
It looks like a dog chew. That looks absolutely disgusting.
That literally looks like...
Is that something
it
you would give to Maple?
It feels horrible. That is literally something I'd give to Maple.
Okay,
roll.
So where nice. Are we... What do you want to try first?
Let's try these.
The dried
these
meat.
Ones, I feel like these are the ones you kept going on about.
Well, it's just because they kept trying to give them to me on safari, and I just found it really upsetting that I was like eating an animal while, oh, I can't. It makes me feel ill. Look at that dried meat. Yuck.
So is it not cooked? Or is it cooked?
I don't know. I think it's just like dried out, isn't it?
Oh, I'm scared.
I don't actually know if they cook it and then dry it out. It looks absolutely disgusting. It looks like dog food. Are you going to put it? How big is your piece? Oh, yours, I'm going to break a bit off. I really don't like it. Okay.
It feels like crispy bacon.
I don't think it does. I think maybe it just bothers me. Oh, I don't like it.
It just tastes very meaty.
Oh, God, you're making me feel sick.
Yeah, now it's gone a bit chewy.
I don't like it at all.
Now it's gone a bit chewy. It's a bit disgusting.
Oh, no. I feel like it tastes like blood.
Don't say that because you're going to make me feel sick.
Man's gone. I got it down. I had to get it down. And it leaves an after... Oh, my God.
Why don't say it. Don't say it.
I'll tell you after. Have you eaten it?
I've finished.
It's ostrich. You've just eaten an ostrich.
A fucking poor ostrich.
See? It's disgusting.
Ostrich is a really ugly animal as well.
I was watching the ostrich run around safari parks only a few months ago.
Oh, well, that's really freaked me out.
Ugh.
Okay, so explain, at first it tastes like crispy bacon and then it started to get soft and soggy and then that's when it started to make me feel a bit sick.
It looks like, honestly, that you what you give to dogs.
Right, try this sausage.
That can go in the bin. Sausage, the mango chew. a peach roll. I got that wrong. I mean, this should be nice, but...
I reckon my dad would like that.
Take it home for him then.
No, he's going to stink my car out.
How do you think we eat this?
I guess you break a bit off, like a... What was that sweet we used to have when we were younger? Oh, don't say it's going to be dry. I hate dried fruit.
I think it's dried fruit.
I hate dried fruit.
Clearly they like to dry things in South Africa. Dried
it's
meat,
it's so
dried
hot
fruit.
There.
Ready?
What's the next? It's going to be like a neck...
Oh, that's not bad.
What is that fruit? The dried peach? What is it?
It's like, dried peach.
Yeah.
It's like something you'd get from Holland and Barrett, you know, in those packets.
They do them in Waitrose.
I mean, I don't love it, but it's way after eating that dried ostrich.
Well, at least we know it's not a dried animal.
Disgusting. Okay, should we open these?
Yeah, I feel like these are going to be nice.
Roasted corn chutney flavour. I mean, there is enough to feed an army here.
I reckon these would be nice to put out, you know, for Christmas as a little, like... You should take them to your mum's. If they're nice. Go. Oh, I don't like that.
I don't mind that.
You like it?
It literally tastes like curry.
That's probably why.
It literally tastes like curried.
I don't eat curry.
Snack.
I only eat chicken korma.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like keep eating them, but that's the best thing out of the three.
I think the dried peaches.
I really know the corn's the best thing for me.
All right. South African snacks. We done it.
What do we rate them out of 1 to 10?
All right, so the dried...
I mean, in comparison to like the Filipino ones, those chili fish that we had once.
Yeah, that was fucking disgusting. Right, so I give these like a 3.
Oh, wow. That's higher than I could then.
Only because the beginning was actually all right. And I feel like if you liked that sort of thing, it would be really nice. What would you give it?
Honestly, like a 1. Barely that.
I'd give these a 4.
I'd probably give
the taste
a 5 or a 6.
I don't like the taste. And I'd give that about a 6.
Oh, wow. Probably like a 5 I'd give that. I still thought they were pretty disgusting. But luckily for you, next week I have Irish snacks because I went to Belfast.
I'm excited for this.
And they're crisps.
I love crisps.
Yeah, so... Crisps are good. I feel like crisps are.
I love crisps.
Pretty solid.
Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. This is our last step before Christmas. There will be one after Christmas. But Merry Christmas. Have a lovely time. Stay safe.
And eat all those roast potatoes.
Yeah, eat whatever you want the next few days.
See you later.
See you soon. Mwah.